How does our life benefit somebody else? How does what I do benefit you? Title, Heavenly. Do you know that we're heavenly people? If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're heavenly people. Just before my brother passed away from a brain tumor, we walked out of church together, and he says to me, he says, "You know, Steve, we're resurrection people." And that's true. We're heavenly people. So I want to focus today on heavenly things. Heavenly things. So when did you first hear about heaven? I mean, I heard about heaven when I was a kid. And it's where God is. And if I was good, I would get there. And of course, I wasn't so good. And then you had this fear of not going to heaven. And I try to get better. So these two little kids were playing outside the church one day, and the pastor went out and he saw them there, and they'd been causing some trouble once in a while and everything. So he brought them into the office, and they came in, and he says, "Do you know where God is?" One kid looked at the other one, and they both got up and ran out, and ran right home. So anyway, the mother looked at the kids, and they looked kind of scared. She said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, we were playing around the church, and the pastor brought us into his office, and they've lost God, and they're trying to blame us." Anyway, since that time, and you need to know that I've never been to seminary. For those of you who know, some of you know that, but others don't. But so I'm not probably qualified in some ways. But I'll tell you what, since then, I have learned an awful lot out of the Word of God about heaven and heavenly things, so I'd just like to share a little bit today. First, I want to say that when you see the word heaven, and it talks about heavens, plural. First verse in the Bible, God made the heavens and the earth. Plural, singular. So the first thing you need to know is that heavens, there's probably more than one heaven. Well, that's a surprise to some people. So when you talk about heaven, and in the Bible it talks about heavenly places, we got to know what they're talking about a little bit, or you might be confused. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 8. I think I'll do it this way. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built? So there's an indication that there's heaven and then there's the highest heaven. So, a little indication that there's probably more than one realm. Here's Paul, Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I don't know, God knows such a man was caught up to the third heaven." One, two, well, that's three. I don't know how many heavens there are. I'm just saying there's an indication here that there's more than one heaven. So when we read about heavenly realms or heavenly places, it's not necessarily talking about the same place. Now, to stay in our safe place, we need to know which heavenly realm I dwell in. Or maybe even come to realize that I dwell in a heavenly realm. That may be not something that everybody believes in. And what heavenly realm does God dwell in? Which heavenly realm are the principalities and powers of spiritual powers of wickedness? Where do they dwell? What heavenly places is that? Ephesians 3:10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. So there it says that the rulers and authorities, there's some in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:2, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, of the spirits that now that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So we have some, Satan dwells and rules in a heavenly place. But not the realm of the highest heaven where God dwells. In many places in the Bible it talks about the highest heavens. So there's a heaven in which Satan and his fallen angels dwell. But as far as I see, it's not the place that God dwells. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 45. So it is also written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so all those who are earthy. As is so are heavenly, all those who are heavenly. Just as we've been born in the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Good news. Good news. So here we're talking about two men, right? The first man, Adam, and the second man, Jesus. First man is from earth, second man is from heaven. So you might want to ask yourself, as you read the Bible, are you of the earth or are you of heaven? It says we've been born again through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have received His life, and He's a heavenly man, and now we have become children of God who is from heaven. We are heavenly beings, stuck in a tent for a while, which is called this body of which we are on this earth. But that is not who we are. The body does not identify a Christian. The outward man does not identify the Christian. It's the inward man. It's that which has happened to you from the inside that identifies who you are. Okay. One little thought here. Why is it that Jesus is called the last Adam, or the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He's called, in this verse, he's called the last Adam, and he's called the second man. Okay, he's got two different identities there. The reason he's called the last Adam is because it says in John 12, and now judgment has come on to this world, and the ruler of this world will be judged. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. This he spoke concerning the kind of death he was to die. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took Adam with him. He took man with him. And when in 2 Corinthians it says, the love of Christ now controls me, concluding this fact that when one died for all, therefore all died. He was the last Adam. When he died, that finished it off. When he died, the judgment came upon this world. What judgment? If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. Well, didn't know that it was going to be just Adam, but all that were in Adam. Adam and everybody else. When he died, all that. But he's the second man. He's the second man. So that just as though we were born into Adam, now everybody who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ receives, and I'm telling you, you don't receive what's happened until you believe, but everybody who believes is born again. He became a life-giving spirit of which we have received. Okay? But that places us in a different man. We were in Adam, now we're in Christ. Good news. Because He's from heaven. He's from heaven. Heavenly things. Heavenly things versus earthly things. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in part of verse 19. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Wow. Through the resurrection, Jesus made a way for man to enter into a heavenly place and get this, far above. Far above. I want you to kind of put that into your spirit today. Far above. Far above. Far above. Not close. Far above. Far above all rule and authority. Not only for this age, but also the age to come. This is where Jesus dwells. This is where He dwells. But keep your thoughts on this thing far above. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Even when we were dead, starting in verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him. Where? And seated us with Him. Where? In heavenly places, far above. Far above. You're far above. You're not in a place where you're close to this dominion of evil. You're far above. By faith, we believe we're far above. By faith, we believe we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above. This is really good news, by the way. Now, if the devil can get you to believe differently, then you might be in a little trouble. I'm just trying to bring the truth out here. So we're in a realm far above powers and dominions. Where we dwell, Satan can't reach us. Period. We know that we're of God, it says in 1 John. But we know that Satan rules over this world. But we're not of the world. We're maybe in, but we're not of it. We're not of it. We're seated far above. Far above. We need to know this in our soul, down here. You got to know that down in your inner man. It's not going to help for you to know it up here. You got to know it down here. Got to have some revelation. If you don't get it, ask the Lord for revelation. Because the Lord will give you revelation that you were crucified with Christ. That you were buried with Him in baptism. And when He rose, you rose with Him. And by faith, we were raised up with Him and seated with Him in heavenly places, far above. Far above. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who Christians are. Ephesians 6, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Well, just know this. They might be in heavenly places, but we're far above. Okay? Don't get this idea that you're down below and they have this power over you. That is a lie. Thank you. And it's also not the truth. And Satan will come and try to lie to you and try to tell you where you live and try to keep you down below under his grip. But it says in 1 John, it says, who is it that overcomes but he who has faith? We have to have faith to believe where we are and who we are and what we represent. We're children of God. We're heavenly beings. Now, I know it's a little hard to understand because you're sitting right here in this earth. Okay? But this is just a tent. And this realm, we live in a realm called the kingdom of God. And that's where we are. That's what the Father transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, where you have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We're in Christ. We are His what? We're His body. When it talks about Satan being under our feet, well, we're His body. Okay? He's under. He's under. We're the victorious ones. He's not. Amen? Our life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. I mean, that statement by itself. Just think about it. Our life is hid with Christ in God. You know, did you know that you moved in God? You're in God? You're in Him? I mean, this is... You talk about positional statements here. You're in God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. That's pretty cool. So our battle is not with flesh and blood. We need to remember this in our daily struggles. What happens in this fleshly body is not to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed in the last days. We should stop complaining about our trials, but in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Our first response as Christians when a trial comes is say, thank you, Lord. But our first response is say, why me, Lord? Now what have I done? Give thanks. Give thanks. Giving thanks for trouble. You know, we don't look for trouble, but trouble comes. How many of you have lived through this life without any trouble? Okay, prove my point. Trouble comes. Trouble comes. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer? Wow. I've overcome the world. In fact, instead of losing our joy, James 1 says, starting in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when? When you encounter various trials. How do you consider trials joy? Well, by faith. By faith. God's in it. God's doing something. God is doing something. God is at work. Consider it all joy. Knowing. Oh, now verse 3 of that says you got to know something. So it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter very knowing. So you got to know. What do you suppose he's going to say next? Knowing what? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let your endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Most of the time when we're complaining, it's because I lack something. Or something was missing. Or I lost something. Or I don't know what can happen. But all these things that come our way. But if we start counting it joy instead of complaining, we have a different outcome. Because our faith is different. Last Friday night, over at Spicer's, Vi Fraley, sitting over here, made a statement that stuck with me, and I think it's going to stick with me. One of the signs in the last days of true Christians is those who have everlasting joy. Everlasting joy shall remain on their heads, it says. So those who have everlasting joy are the ones that never lose it. They have joy all the time. They're always filled with joy. Because the joy of the Lord is in me. Wow. Everlasting joy. So we can express everlasting joy. Do not let circumstances or lies from our adversary, the devil, rob you of your everlasting joy. Don't let him steal that from you. You have it. I'm telling you, you got it. Because I know what God gave through the resurrection. And he gave us joy. And just scripturally to kind of back that up, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Wow. But you see, to me, as a pastor of and been here and studying this, the thing that the devil wants to rob from us is, first of all, he comes to rob us of our righteousness. And starts putting you back into condemnation. Well, the scripture really says there is no condemnation. That's N-O, zero, condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, but he comes to rob us of our righteousness. But our righteousness does not come from works. It comes through Jesus Christ, who God made sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he comes to try to rob us of our righteousness. He comes to try to take away our peace. And these things come in our life and we lose peace. Well, that's the devil. He's trying to rob us of these things which are guaranteed for us in the kingdom. And he tries to take away our joy. But the truth of the matter is we can have righteousness, peace, and joy because we dwell in his kingdom. And that's the way it is there. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Don't let the devil drag you back into the circumstances of this world and try to dictate and let these circumstances dictate your peace and joy. We have our peace and joy according to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, not according to circumstances. Okay? We don't lose it or gain it because of circumstances. We've got it because of the finished work of Jesus. That's how come. We live by faith in the truth, not by sight. What we see does not change what we believe. Whatever you're going through doesn't change what you believe. The things of this earth do not dictate what we believe. This present world system is not our dwelling place. We live here as aliens and strangers. So we're not to get entangled with this world system and spend our energies looking for comforts. That's basically this outer body just loves to be stroked and comforted and, oh man, I can't go through anymore. Oh, woe is me. God takes care of us, and various trials are there for one purpose, and that is the testing of our faith. James 4:7 said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Doesn't sound too hard, huh? Well, the submitting to God probably is the hard part. If there is a hard part, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But I suggest that you submit to God's truth. Submit to the truth that you read and that you hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to lead us into all truth. Lead us into all truth. Because once we see the truth, we know some things. Once you know some things, you can stand. The devil flees from the truth of God. Here's Jesus talking to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting. So I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this world. Realm. What kingdom did we get put into? In Colossians it says the Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. And he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. My kingdom is not of this world. You've been transferred into that kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Pilate represented at that time the worldly government. You know that Jesus' kingdom is already established? He's not looking for you to establish his kingdom. His kingdom is 100% in order and established. We just need to move into it. You know, just because Israel got thrown into Babylon, and Daniel served there, and Babylon was a better place because Daniel was there. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were there. And certainly Babylon was a better place because they were there, but Babylon was not Israel. No matter how much Daniel got involved with the government, he could not make Babylon Israel. And we cannot make our present governments the kingdom of God. No way. His kingdom is already established. When he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," guess where the kingdom is? The kingdom is in your midst, it says. You see, this realm we're in is right here today. And it's far above. But our idea of above is by distance, and God's idea above is probably has to do with who's over who. Who's got the say? Who's got the authority? It might be distance, but when you look at it and you figure out that the kingdom has come amongst us, the kingdom is in your midst. I think I even have that scripture coming up. Okay. Oh, here it is. It's the next scripture. I'll just read it here. Luke 17:20. "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.'" Well, we have to know that the observations of this world and the news media are not the indication of what's happening. Okay? Don't take your readout of your Christian life from the news or any other kind of media that we can see. We have been made spiritual people, that we receive things by the Spirit. The Spirit tells us the truth. He leads us into the truth. So he says, it's not to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look here. Here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is within your midst. Some of them say the kingdom of God is in you. But most of them say the kingdom of God is among you. So this kingdom of God is on earth as it was in heaven. Something happened. First Corinthians 15:50 says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." John 3:3. To Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't even see the kingdom." Mark 1:14, "Now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand.'" Wow. "Repent and believe the gospel." We need to see that the first repentance is to turn from the kingdom and domain of Satan to the kingdom of God. That's the first turning you need to turn from. Turn from, well, there are first banner up here. That's out of Acts where Paul was talking to King Agrippa. He said, I've been sent to see them turn from darkness to light. The repentance was from one kingdom to another, from the domain of Satan to God. That's the repentance we need to first do. You may need to repent of some other things that the Holy Spirit might convict you of, but I'm just saying, let's get out of the kingdom of darkness. Let's leave this kingdom of this world, and let's agree with the scripture that says the Father has taken me out. But let's get out of the world. Let's not dwell in the world anymore. Let's not be of this world. Even though we're in the world, I understand that. Jesus said, you're going to be in the world, but you're not of the world. So we need to be a people that's separated. A people that's separate from all this stuff. Come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. But that's coming out of the kingdom of this world. Coming out of the systems of this world. And you know, I can talk to you personally, but I can also talk to the church at large. Let's get the church out of the kingdom of this world and into the kingdom of Jesus. Don't let any world systems that have come in and robbed us from the kingdom of heaven and said that we need to have this and this and that and whatever else the world says we got to have. We don't need it. We don't even want it. We don't want to be part of that. Let's get out. So the first repentance is from one kingdom to another. Matthew 24:14 says this, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world." The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world, then end should come. So let me put it in other words. The first repentance is not from your sins. The first repentance is from sin. There's a program called Sin City. Well, the program we're coming out of is sin worldly, or whatever. I mean, the world is a place of sin. It's a place of sin. It's where sin is acceptable. It's where sin is the way it is. I mean, in the world, there will be sin. But the first thing is to get out of this sinful world into the kingdom of righteousness, into where He dwells. That's where victory comes. That's where our energies can come from as a Christian. I dwell in the kingdom of righteousness. And you need to know that Jesus cleaned the inside of the cup first, so that the outside may become clean. And our identity is with the inner man, not the outer man. This outer man will go to the tomb one day, and we have great hope for the resurrection to get a glorified body, but this outer man is not born again. So the outer man needs to be brought into subjection to the inner man, the heavenly man, the heavenly being. So by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the outer man, the deeds of the body, and live. I think I've quoted this verse, but giving thanks to the Father, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share an inheritance of the saints of light, for He rescued us out of the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The gospel of Jesus is all about our Father in heaven qualifying us to live in the kingdom. He qualified us to live in the kingdom. Jesus is the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the whole world through the death on the cross. In Jesus we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. So the good news is that God has taken us out of the domain of darkness and He seated us with Jesus at His right hand, far above all wicked forces of evil. Once you grab onto that, the wicked forces of evil lose their power. They lose their grip because you know who you are. You know where you dwell. And you know that Satan does not have access to you. I might make it. I think I'm on my last one. Colossians 3. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, then keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind down in here, this part of your soul, on the things above, not on things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you'll also be revealed with Him in glory. That word seek there is zatio in the Greek, which doesn't mean anything to me or you probably, except that the definition is this: I seek, I search for, I desire, I require, I demand to know this. I'm going to seek things above. I'm not going to just, well, if it comes, it comes, you know. We used to have a song when I grew up, Que sera, sera. Anybody remember that? Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. We sang that. That's a bunch of baloney. For a Christian, we know what's coming. We know because we've been told what's coming. It's not a que sera, sera. In fact, we should be diligently looking at this as the time draws near. So seek, seek, seek the things above. Okay, set your mind, the inner part of your soul, on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. It is the earthly things that trouble us. Amen? The things above with Christ give us peace. Why not get there? Our life is hid with Christ in God. That's our dwelling place. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, in John 3:16-33. So expect... I put it this way. So it's not the expectation of a child of God to live without tribulation. We expect tribulation. In this world you will have. That's not a... You could have if you're a sinner. You know, if you don't follow me close enough, you're going to have tribulation. No, he didn't say that. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, or have a fullness of joy, or keep a smile on your face, because I've overcome the world, and you're seated with me far above all this stuff. You're seated with me far above all this stuff. What more could He have done for us? And yet, we have an adversary who comes to... See if I can quote this right. To steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the truth from you. He wants to take that truth and hide it from you. He wants to keep you from knowing it so that He can toy with you. And you can... get into the fracas of this world and keep you bound up. You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? I heard a lot of lies out there. That's not what the scripture says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make, M-A-K-E, you free. The truth doesn't set you free, because Jesus set me free when He died on the cross. That's accomplished. Okay? The truth makes you free. I used this analogy in Sunday school this morning, but you could be the king's kid, and you're living out on the street as a bum because you don't know it. And then finally the truth gets revealed that you're the king's child. Now you've been the king's child. That doesn't change. But the truth made you free. You were free. You just didn't know it. So Jesus has set us free. The truth makes us free. In other words, the devil can't toy with you anymore. Oh, no, you're just another bum just like me. No, I'm not. I'm the king's kid. Sorry, I know the truth now. I know who I am. You can't convince me of that anymore. I know that my sins have been forgiven. I know that the body of sin was removed from me and that Jesus came in and gave me a new heart and a new spirit. I know that. I know some things. You can't lie to me anymore. Now, that's the freedom we're looking for. But I'm going to just say this in closing, that the days are going to get more and more where tribulation and iniquity and lawlessness is going to increase. Matthew 24 says, when lawlessness increased, the love of many waxed cold. Is your love going to make it? When you hit some trial and somebody does something wrong to them, does your love stop? Do you keep loving? Do you keep speaking well or do you speak evil? What comes out of our lips? You see, be careful, little lips, what you say. In Ephesians 4, I think it says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Woo! Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. That's a pretty tough one. But I can tell you, the more we know who we are, the more our lips will come under the control of the love of Christ. We need to be controlled by the love of Christ. That's what's in us. That's what needs to come out. So, Father, I just thank You. Lord, help us to keep our mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. Help us keep our mind on You, Lord, and hearing from You and obeying and being led by the Spirit of God, which is an indicator that we're the children of God. So help us, Lord. You sent us Your Holy Spirit. You sent us everything we need pertaining to godliness and life on this earth. Lord, help us to grab hold of all that You have grabbed hold of for us, that we might walk in the fullness. We might walk in the confidence of who we are in Christ Jesus, far above all this other stuff, which are the trials of this earth. Lord, and help us to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will listen. Lord, I just pray that You'll encourage all of us today in who we are and where we dwell and what we're about. In Jesus' name, amen.